Ladies and gentlemen, colleagues and friends, hello. I am Dr. George Cassianos, the National Immunization Lead for the Royal College of General Practitioners. And it is my privilege today to be able to discuss influenza vaccination rates with two amazing teams, one from Wales and the other from Berkshire. With me, I have Dr. Anish Kotecha from Gwent in Wales, and Jagiriv and Dr. Ivan Aloysius from Bracknell in Berkshire. I will let my guests introduce themselves. Anish, over to you first.
Thank you very, very much, George. Yeah, my name is Anish Kotecha. I'm a GP partner at a surgery in South Wales and obviously involved in the vaccination program for influenza.
Thank you. Jackie?
Thank you, George. I'm Jackie Reeve. I'm the Vaccine and Immunisation Administrator for the Ringmead practice. I joined the Ringmead team in November 2017, and this is my third flu season.
And Ivan?
Hi, thank you, George. I'm Ivan Aloysius and GP partner at Ringmead Medical Practice. I'm the immunisation lead for the practice.
I have to declare here that I was a partner at the Ringmead practice for 38 years in one practice, and I retired from the practice back in 2017. As Jackie came in, I wish I was working with you at the time, Jackie, because you know you really need an administrator like you to achieve good vaccination rates. Now, we all recognize the importance of achieving high influenza vaccination rates. This has been even more important in the last 15 years because of the varying and generally low vaccine effectiveness against one particular strain of influenza, that of AH3N2, among the older adults. New vaccine technologies, such as the introduction of adjuvanted and high-dose antigen vaccines for older adults, go some way to help. Nonetheless, achieving high vaccination rates ensures success in reducing the circulation of influenza viruses in our communities and also deterioration of chronic disease admissions to hospital and even death from influenza. Now, the Department of Health and Social Care and Public Health have given us goals or ambitions, if you like, for vaccination rates for the current influenza season, that is 2020-21. We are asked to vaccinate at least 75% of our older adults, those in the clinical at-risk groups, pregnant women, and children aged 2 to 11 years. Also, we are asked to offer vaccination to all, that is 100% of frontline health and social care workers. So let's start with your influenza vaccination rates during the last season, that is 2019-20. Anish, can you remember roughly how your practice did last year?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on this one, George. I know we did fairly well. I don't think we quite reached the 100%, but I know we would have done fairly well. I don't have the figures to hand, probably about 80-90%, I suspect.
That's excellent. And what about your practice, Ivan?
Well, the last year, if I just give you the stats, if we did over 65, 87%, and then at-risk group 6 months to 64-year old, 67.4%. We did pregnant mothers, and we covered 70%. Healthcare workers, we offered all the healthcare workers in the practice, but the uptake was 76%, which was slightly higher than the previous years, but... and then 2-3 year old, we had 65% compared to the national average of 44%.
Now, these are really, really high vaccination rates for UK and for Europe. I can tell you, our European colleagues will really envy you for being able to achieve anything like this. That's great achievement. And what about your influenza vaccination rates so far this season? I need to clarify that we recorded this podcast at the beginning of January 2021. Jackie, can you give us some figures?
Certainly, thank you. This flu season has certainly been a challenge with accommodating patients in a timely and safe manner in line with the public health goals. We have a very large patient list size currently, as at this morning, 23,027 patients on our book, so to speak. This flu season, the first time ever, we managed to achieve our flu quaff targets by mid-December. The current figures on this are coronary heart disease, 96%, stroke and TIA, 95%, diabetes, 97%, and COPD, 98%. We hope to improve on these before the end of the season. Quaff targets are a driving force for us to achieve high uptake rates, and this year the quaff points have doubled, so an extra incentive. Our current percentage uptake rates for the other main cohorts are children aged 2 years, 80%, children aged 3 years, 73%, pregnant women at risk, 77%, pregnant women not at risk, 55%, the 65 years and over, 87%, the 18 to 64 years, all at risk, 64%, under 18s, 73%. Of course, we've started the 50 to 64 year olds at the beginning of December. We're currently at 36%. This is, we're trying to target this at the moment. We've been vaccinating since the 12th of September, and to date we have administered 5,818 vaccines at Ringmead Medical Practice.
That's an amazing achievement. I would think, Anish, you probably have similar figures in your practice, I would think.
Yes, I suspect we probably do. But offhand, I wouldn't have the figures, but I suspect so.
Thank you. During the last influenza season, the intranasal vaccine for children was delivered to the UK late, about mid-November. We had already seen a large increase in visits to GP practices with influenza-like illness of children, as shown by the Royal College of GPs Research and Surveillance Centre. As soon as we started vaccinating children, the rates of influenza-like illness dropped considerably. This actually shows so well the power of vaccination. I take it that you have all put your influenza vaccine orders in by February, and when manufacturers, in fact, are starting to produce the influenza vaccines for delivery in September. So, Ivan, why is it so important to start vaccinating your practice at-risk patients as soon as you receive your vaccines?
Well, that's just follow up on what you said, that the ultimate aim of the influenza vaccination is improve the patient's care, reduce the hospitalizations, as well as the reduce the infectious disease and reduce the antibiotic prescribing. Most of the flu circulate start from the mid-December, but you might recall last year that the peak of the flu season started well before that. So, and then most of the influenza illnesses we know of April onwards there. So I think it's quite important that we vaccinate as soon as possible. One thing is that we can plan our clinics accordingly, and then we could do a mop-up vaccination later. And then we strongly believe that everyone in at-risk group must be vaccinated. And then also that we want to set the target higher than what we have in the past. The other thing is that in the practice management perspective, it is a significant income for the practices, and that, you know, that and then as Jackie said, that it's also allocation of the cough, and then recently that you might recall that there's a primary care network investment and impact fund also highlight that there's a 72 points for the influenza vaccination. So as I said, that it's an ultimate goal is the improvement of patient care, but the incentive that make us to drive this vaccination more and more. And then I think it's important that because of the various peaks of the influenza, we should start vaccinating as soon as possible. And in this year, of course, even it is important as the COVID vaccination started in December. So it came into our favor this year because we have already vaccinated most of our influenza patients. So there is no delay of COVID vaccinations. As you know, that we need to wait at least 7 days before giving the COVID vaccination.
Very good. Thank you very much. So, Anish, obviously, here you have been asked to vaccinate much earlier this year, September, October, November, and complete vaccinations. Why did the government ask us to do that this year?
Yes, I think I think it was two pronged. I think obviously we obviously want to do this because we know that the flu can start in November and December and then actually goes into the new year as well and then peaks in January and February. So we obviously want to get people vaccinated as soon as possible to try and prevent them from getting the disease. But also, I think currently, because of the COVID vaccine, the news about the COVID vaccine coming out, I think if we could get a lot of these flu vaccines out of the way and done and into people, then we were, as Ivan said, ready for the COVID vaccinations as well. And obviously there has to be some lag between one and the other. So if we can get all of our flus done, then we're good to go with the COVID as well.
That's a good message. Thank you very much for that. Jackie, the uptake of influenza vaccinations in your practice across all ages is notably higher than the national average. Can you tell us more about how you achieve this?
Certainly. Our flu season begins by promoting our clinics on the Ringmead website and other social media platforms and ensuring campaign resources are each of our three surgery sites. It's my job to keep the team fully informed every step of the way, making sure every member of the practice has all the available resources, protocols, and infographics, etc., to deliver the flu campaign in an efficient and safe manner. I advise on delivery schedules, which stock to prioritise, and on stock availability, which historically has proved to be a challenge in the past. I ensure the practice is up to date with all data entry, including from outside organisations, hospitals, school immunisation teams, pharmacies, etc. It is important that data is up to date as possible so that reporting data is relevant and current. The whole practice is briefed on coding so that every bit of information that can be gleaned at any patient contact is recorded correctly on the system. I run daily searches to check for incorrect coding, and I can even tell if someone is not using my flu protocol. I like my coding and reporting to be clean and consistent. I run regular searches to check uptake and target cohorts that are not as good as they could be. The Inform weekly summary report is also invaluable. This details all the flu cohorts and where your practice ranking is within the CCG based on uptake percentage. It also shows how many vaccinations on each cohort are left to meet the national ambition, another great incentive to do better. I always check the patient alert box and invite to every opportunity on my travels on the EMA system, as do all the members of the Ringmead team. Our practice reception team provide brilliant support. They contact patients, promote vaccination, and arrange appointments which are convenient. These appointments include early morning, evenings, and of course, our Saturday clinics. Patients are also able to book their own appointments via online access. AccuRx, the text messaging service, has proved to be invaluable. It is fast and efficient with excellent remote support. We even also have a search report by user, which encourages healthy competition, all the clinical team vie to win this. To summarise, having a team that know their role and responsibilities within the flu campaign, regular monitoring of data and acting upon it, utilising all the available flu resources and good communication are the key to a good and successful influenza vaccination uptake.
Oh, Jackie, thank you very much for highlighting what goes behind achieving those high vaccination rates. It's just amazing the work you actually do behind the lines before we get that patient come to us for vaccination. If I can turn now to you, Anish, can you tell us more about how your practice approaches the flu vaccination program and the learning points you have had in achieving these high rates?
Yes, of course. So we usually have designated flu clinics in the surgery where we will have maybe 3, 4, even 5 immunizers per half or even full day. We have letters sent out to the patients, giving them the times to come to the surgery for the vaccine. And we have so many patients allocated then per sort of 10 minutes, depending on how many immunizers we have in that session. This way, we find it's a fairly fluid system. It reduces the chances of people waiting around. And over the years, we've developed the system. I think patients are now used to this system, and equally they feel it works quite well, and for us it works well as well. We have per station, then we'll have the immunizer, and we'll add an administrative staff member who will ask the patient's details, ask them if they've got a preference of left or right arm, for example, check their details in terms of address, date of birth and things like that. And we'll also make a note of maybe the batch number and the expiry date of the vaccination. The letters also mean that people have a bit of time to plan when they're coming in, and also have time to get back to us if they want to change the day because that's not convenient for them. This year, we've actually found that people are ever more keen than usual to get immunized anyway. So that's probably helped us reach people that we wouldn't have ordinarily or have struggled to have reached. But this year, we found it's been quite easy to get hold of people, and people have been very keen to come in to get themselves immunized. We have had some people that have been a little bit skeptical just because of coming out of their houses. But when we've explained to them why we think it's really important for them to come in and have an immunization or a vaccine, we've managed to sort of convince most of them.
Thank you. As we come to the end of our podcast, I would like to turn our discussion to logistics. Ivan, I understand you have used, for the current influenza season, premises outside your surgery. Can you tell us why you did that? And generally, how was it organized away from the comforts, if you like, and cold chain of your surgery?
Well, as you could imagine, because of the pandemic, that we had to work in different ways, not only the vaccinations, our day-to-day consultations models. But we always traditionally done weekend walk-in flu clinic. But this time, that mainly to maintain the vaccination in a safe manner by maintaining have good social distancing, we chose outside venue. We choose to have two venues. One is that it's a sports hall at a college, and the other one was a scout hut, which gave us a larger space. And then it's also, as Anish said, that there's lots of people were so keen to have the vaccinations this year. The uptake was slightly higher. So we were able to have a larger numbers of vaccination done. If I just could give the numbers, and you know, we had a first vaccination clinic, we did around 540 flu vaccine and roughly around 100 pneumococcal and shingle opportunistic vaccine. Where at the second clinic, we managed to do 820. So the other is 600 vaccinations. What we did was that we involved or had a discussion with our stakeholders, including the CCG. They were quite helpful. And then we were given two large cool box, which is temperature monitoring probe. And then we had the cool packs. So we able to maintain the cold chain. And then these two venues were very closer to the surgery. So what we did was we only took the vaccine necessary for every hour, you know, so we don't have to take a large amount of vaccine and then keep the vaccine outside the temperature, even though you had a cool box. This was to allow us to maintain the cool box. And also other things we did was that CCG again gave us internet dongle. So we were able to do data and then and there, as we would have done it in our own practice. And then the first time when we did it, we had a again that we used the RCGP calculations of the minutes. Initially, we started with the 5 minutes vaccinations. We utilized the PPG and then our PPG members and marshals. And then there wasn't any waiting time at all. In fact, so we stopped one our clinician and sent them to do the housebound vaccination. That second time when we did it, we shortened the vaccination time. And then recently we did a vaccination for 50 to 64 year old at the surgery in a similar manner, but even we were able to reduce the amount of time taken to 1 to 2 minutes here because there was no patient waiting and then the flow was good. And then we had a very supportive PPG who helped us with the marshalling and then flow of the patients. So it was well appreciated from the feedback from the patients as well. And then one important thing is that not only that patient was keen, and then we also send a message to the patients and then saying that a personalized message, you may call it. We send them a message saying that we have reserved a vaccination for you. even though our appointment wasn't booked, we said to them, we have a vaccine for you. So that made them to realize that the doctor has reserved a vaccine, so we should go and have the vaccine, and then they turned up and booked the appointment. Whereas previously we had done as a walk-in clinic, but this time we only did strictly booked appointment system.
Well, we have reserved a vaccine for you. What a strong message. What really strong message for patients. And of course, we can use this message perhaps for the COVID vaccination. We have reserved a vaccine for you. I'm sure patients will come and get their own vaccine you have reserved. Great. So finally, Anish, if I can turn to you, I understand you have also used other premises away from your practice. Can you just point out to some logistical problems you actually faced?
Yes, actually, do you know, I'm going to use the opportunity to actually suggest it's been actually very smooth for us over in Wales. I must admit, we haven't had many logistical problems. You know, doing our flu clinics from a leisure centre locally has actually been an excellent experience. The leisure centre we used is, and I literally mean 2 minutes, it was literally 2 minutes away. You could probably throw a stone from my surgery and hit the leisure centre. It's that close for us. So in fact, you know, we found that if we needed any further equipment, then it was actually very easy to go back and get more equipment. We actually found, to the contrary, that, you know, the leisure centre staff were very accommodating. They kept coming and asking us if we needed any more teas and coffees and biscuits and things like that. So it was a lovely experience. The health board, from our perspective, had dealt with arranging this right from the outset. So we didn't actually have to negotiate anything with the actual leisure centre. That was all done from the health board perspective. So if there were any loopholes, they would have all been sort of sorted out above board for us. As a surgery, it's been well organised. As Ivan said, social distancing is very easy. I mean, we had a whole hall just to ourselves. We left the doors open, so the venue felt very well ventilated all the way through. And actually, just to end on the fact that some informal conversations with patients at the time since have actually reassured us that they found the experience extremely useful. They found it very, very helpful coming to the leisure centre and seeing how social distancing was so easy. And they've actually said, is this possible to do every year from now on? To be honest, they've really liked it.
Well, what both practices actually show here, you show that mass vaccination is feasible and achievable. Well, this has been a fascinating discussion that has given us the chance to hear of great achievements in influenza vaccination, but also hear the details of how mass influenza vaccination has been organized in general practice during the current season, which is dominated by COVID-19. Personally, I'm taking away one strong message for patients. We have reserved a vaccine for you. That surely will bring a lot more patients in for vaccination. Well, for more information about influenza, please take a look at the RCGP's Influenza Prevention and Treatment e-learning course. This includes 2 e-learning modules, a webinar, and a podcast series, including this one. I would like to thank our 3 excellent colleagues for sharing with us their experience, and also the RCGP for organizing this podcast. Thank you also for listening.